Man, I feel the presence of God. I felt something leave when we were praying. God doesn't want you to be afraid. You might not understand it all, but that's okay. Just keep an open heart tonight. God's going to speak some things to you. If you have a Bible, turn with me in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. And while you're getting there, I just want to take the chance, before it flees from me, to thank all of our friends and guests for coming tonight. All of our visitors, church family, we're so glad that you're here. And maybe this is your first time tonight, and we're so glad that you come to be with us. Glad to see all of you. Glad that God is in here with us tonight. I'm excited. I'm not afraid. I'm not weary. Oh, the devil has tried over the past couple weeks lately. You know, when he sees something going on good in your life or in a church, he'll literally bring everything he can to bring it to a halt. But I'm here to tell you that you don't need the four walls of this building to still have church. How many of you know that? And there's been some things I've been going through, and as I began reading and studying the Word of God when I had a little bit of time off, I got to just take it in for a change. And I realized that, you know, if I just get right to the point, it wouldn't take me so long to preach. But that's just a little bit of hindsight I've learned along the way. But one thing I'm learning is that that which God gives us through the Word is life. Somebody say, it's life. Look over at your neighbor and say, it's life. Some would tell you it's boring. Some would tell you it's too hard to read. But look over and tell them it's life to you. That's why it's important. Not because the preacher reads it and makes himself a fool about it. It's important because it's life to you. We're confounded by it, and it causes us to be different people. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't have gave it, right? Tonight we're going to read in the 16th chapter of Genesis. We're going to read two sections of this chapter. We're going to start at verse 7, and we will end at verse 12, and we'll just see where the Lord wants to lead tonight. As I prayed about this word, I just feel good. I'm just going to enjoy this. As I prayed for this word, it was by no coincidence that God sent it for the hour that we're in. And this word that I'm going to give you tonight is what God gave me. He sees your affliction. Touch three people and tell them, he sees your affliction. You may not know the person next to you, but just hit them anyway. Say, he sees your affliction too. We got to get to know each other. How are we ever going to fellowship? Come on. He sees our affliction. Isn't that wonderful? When words fail us, he sees our trouble. When pain causes us to not even call out by faith, I'm glad to say that God sees our affliction. You want to know why it's important? Because he sees the trouble in others when they don't see the trouble in themselves. And he loves them enough to spare them and forgive them and give them a chance to turn their life over to God. And without that mercy and love and kindness, I would not be here today. Without that, without the fact alone that he sees my affliction, without me even knowing that he does, I would not be here today. So you'll have to, how do they say it, excuse me tonight if I get a little bit involved and emotionally invested in what God wants to bring out. You want to know why? Because without it, I wouldn't be here. How many of you can say that tonight? Without that love for our affliction, we would not be here tonight. Without his love, we wouldn't be here. It's not because of your strength, your health, whether you're a vegan, vegetarian, or meat lover. It's because he loves you and wants you to be here. He wants you to take care of yourself, but he also cares about you too, right? Let's go ahead and read at verse 7. Forgive me for mispronunciations. If you know it better, come see me after church and help me. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain. Who's her, Jared? Sarah or Hagar? Hagar. By a fountain of water. Forgot my glasses. In the wilderness. By the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the... We're going to go back to verse 9. And if I don't get there in about 10 minutes, somebody remind me to go back there. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard, say, heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. It's tough when we feel like in our heart that we have been abandoned by God. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I've been through some things in my life where it got so dark that it was hard for me to find God in what I was going through, my pain, my frustration. And in that midst of confusion, one may want to ask themselves, well, where is God in all of this, right? And somebody in here tonight has been asking, where has God been in my situation? And you may not even be aware that you have anybody on your side. And you know what? When it comes to people, we may lose them all. I feel this under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We may lose them all. But I'm glad that in the middle of the desert, that God did not leave someone in a time when they had nobody else. Some of you might say, well, brother, that's the mistress you're talking about. We don't look at the mistress in a positive light because of her role in the story. But let me tell you, not everybody on earth is perfect. Not everybody on earth has walked the golden streets. Not everybody has been fed with a silver spoon. And some of us have made mistakes in life. And some of us have went in deserts where we didn't even have an oasis to draw from. But I'm here to tell you tonight that even though you feel like that you've messed up your whole life, even though you feel like that nobody understands your pain, I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven tonight that is very much aware of what you're going through. You might have thought, well, brother, this is the first time I've been here. How can you tell me that you know about my trouble? I'm here to tell you that the God that I serve is very well aware of the pain that you go through in your life. And you can pretend all you want that nobody else sees what you're going through, but you are what you eat, and it is all over you, and it's time for a new beginning, because God sees your affliction. There's a reason that he sent an angel allowed unto her, because he didn't want her to perish, because there was a greater purpose for the child that was within her. Well, brother, that's what I say to myself all the time. I've already lived over half my life. I'm not going to back down anymore. I've already lived over half my life. I've already went through the motions of church and religion over half my life, and I'm so tired of being afraid of people. Somebody, can I get a witness in this place tonight? I'm so tired of being afraid of people. I'm so tired of letting opinions keep me shackled in from being who I am truly called to be. He has called you to be something more than being bound by the fear of man. He has called you to do something greater than to be afraid of people, because what he put in you was more than enough to put demons on the run. What he has put inside of you is more than enough to be a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But if the devil can, we've been preaching about a false sense of perception, perceiving things to be worse than they are, because Satan begins to put visions in our mind of how things are. But I'm here to tell you, deception is deception. You know how you root out deception? You pray. Look over at somebody and say, that must be it. You pray. So if you're going through something and you've had a hard time for a couple weeks, let me ask you, friend, did you pray? Oh, Lord, nobody said amen. I'm kind of worried tonight. Did you pray when you felt in the midst of darkness? Did you get down and seek the Lord? Did you call out for the things that you believe in? Because chances are the answer may be no. So she's out in the desert. Most of the time when you go out in a desert place, there's not anywhere to draw water, right? But I find that in this scripture that she is led to a place where she could draw from. Oh, my Lord. She was led to a place where she could draw from. Friends, every single time that you have an opportunity to be in this place, When somebody is wandering in the desert, God is sending them in for something to draw from. And we have to be prepared to be saturated. Look, oh, I feel that. Look over at somebody and say, saturated. Oh, running over. Oh, enveloped with the substance of something. He wants you to be so saturated under the anointing of the Spirit that before you even know it, your feet have left your mind and you begin to dance. He wants you to be so saturated that before you can tell yourself, well, I better not praise Him. I don't know what they'll think about me, that you'll already be letting the evidence of the Spirit be alive in you. And before you know it, all of a sudden, that pew that you've grown so comfortable to sit on, all of a sudden, before you know it, brother, it'll cause you to rise up and say, I don't know what I'm going to do right now, but all I know is I love my Lord, and I'm going to pray. Somebody ought to get up and praise Him. I don't know if that's you tonight, but I am not going to settle for the devil's level, and I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to be silent. This is not the hour to hold our peace. When you're frustrated, hold your peace. But when you're taking ground on the devil, you let him know with all you've got that I've had enough. I tell him every day, you're not going to take me in the same thing you've got me over before. You're only going to pull that over my eyes one time. And if you get the wisdom from God, you never have to let it hit you again. So she sent to a place where she could draw. And she's spoken to by the angel. Because he didn't want her to go any further. Why did he not want her to go any further? Because beyond the boundary of where God has sent someone, only lies destruction. Now here's the deal. If they come in and we do not supply the oasis, then we are held responsible and will bear that burden of suffering. It is in the Word, it is a judgment, it is a promise to His people that if we are aware to do something good and do it not, that we are in sin. But if we offer the oasis and they turn it away, then you don't have to walk away with the blood on your hands, but you can walk away with having a burden of concern. Probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I remember a time when prayer was not as hard to do. I remember that people would be able to pray at the beginning of services and you could feel the anointing of God begin to sweep in. We didn't have to have, no offense to anybody that sings, because I do too, but you didn't have to have the praise band to try to bring in the presence of God. And you didn't have to have the preacher work overtime to get you to remember that you got something in here. If you need me to remind you twice a week, you've got problems. You should already know God's alive in you. But here we are, as a result of not entering into the presence of God in prayer on a regular basis. It is not a habit. But let me tell you what we have built up in habits, the things that lead us to comfort. That's the only reason you ever build a habit. I build a habit of loving to eat late at night. And I don't know what it is I'm going to eat. All I know is I'm on my way there at around 11:30. And I know it's not good for me. But I know that after I eat it, for some reason, I have a bit of closure that I finally fulfilled this temple. That's a silly example. Are you ready for a serious example? We have situations where we may be provoked. Somebody say provoked. Touch yourself. Hit yourself real hard on the chest. Say provoked. Something that comes suddenly to destroy you. But without prayer and being prepared for that attack, what happens? We go to find comfort by other means. We'll say something we don't mean to say. We'll be irrational in ways that we shouldn't be. We'll let things come out of us and actions come out of us that does not reflect the heart of God. And when people see us that way, it's hard for them to take you seriously next time when they see you and you're like, why don't you come to church, brother? I'd sure love to have you there. Well, aren't you the same guy that slapped me in the back of the head? Well, we just had a problem there, but we're good now. I love you, brother. Don't turn around, though. Where other people would have thrown the mistress in the desert, God did not leave her. I didn't come to preach to the high class. I didn't come to preach to religious aristocrats. You know who I came for tonight? The Hagars. I'm here tonight for the Hagars. I'm here for those of you tonight that have been wandering in the desert for a long time. And I'm here to tell you that at some point in my life that this guy was that Hagar. I was out doing things I shouldn't have done. I went against the plan of God for my life. I did things that I would never even want to admit, nor am I ever going to be proud of as long as I live. But I'm glad that he found me a place that I could draw from. It was unconventional. It was a living room and not a church house. I heard tongues that I never heard before, but something began to come in my heart and I received it and it changed me forever. And now tonight I'm here to tell somebody there's freedom for you. Amen. You might want to hate on Hagar, but you just remember that she was caught in a bad situation. And even when you've made mistakes, you know the wonderful thing about it, brother? That doesn't mean that God's finished with you. I can't even begin to fathom how that he would have took somebody that nobody would have trusted with a dime to make him somebody that could stand and proclaim the word of God. It blows my mind that when you read about the words of Paul, that he was once a man that others would have had to have been stoned and hung and put on a cross for all the things that he did against the church. It blows me away how that God finds the most broken and he loves them enough to not let them go. I'm glad that he didn't let me go when it was far too gone. I'm glad that he didn't turn me loose when others would have said, throw them away and throw away the key. I'm glad that if somebody would have had a choice to turn off the life support, if I was dying and would have probably said, it's probably for the best if you did, that they didn't let me go, that they didn't turn me loose, because even when I didn't even see it, I began to realize through the love of other people in my life that God heard my affliction. We could only but realize that God already knows, we wouldn't spend so much time making everybody else aware. I've got a full-time job. I have a full-time ministry. I'm here to give and devote my heart completely. But that takes a lot of time. So let me tell you what I've had to cut out in my life to be effective in the ministry. If you want to go ahead and provoke me, you go ahead. My heart's going to be open and you can do it if you want to. But as soon as you do it to me, I let it go, because I don't have time to harbor feelings over things that I can't change. You might think that you've got victory over something you might say to somebody, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't do it in love, it don't make a difference. Let me tell you tonight, he didn't call us to be hypocrites, people that sit back and act like they've got it all together. He wants us to be reminded that at some point in our life, we were out in the desert and didn't know the way, that we were out in trouble and didn't have a refuge, but we found a God that's found us and didn't let, my God, I feel him. Oh, somebody, oh, my Lord. Oh, he didn't let me go. He didn't turn us loose, brother. We're not alone. We are not alone. When Adam and Eve committed sin, did God not yet see them? So in good and in bad, somebody needs to write this down. In good and in bad, God still sees us. There's a word in the Bible that talks about that. It means omnipresent, all-seeing, all-knowing, ever-present. And if I would just remind myself that he is aware of my problems, you know what would happen? I would cause myself less problems. I'm talking about me. I could cause myself so fewer problems if I would just focus on him and not on me alone. We could change the course of history if we would only but focus on his will, his plan, and not ours. Because nobody's going to remember somebody that lived their life begrudgingly to everyone. The kind of people that are remembered on this earth are the kind that make a difference. Paul was not remembered by the fact alone that he persecuted the church. He is remembered today because of the difference that he made to others. You might have thought that you'd already been so far down the road and so far gone that you couldn't make a difference. But if you can get up and show love to everybody around you, just a single day, you have moved mountains when others would have left it there to sit. I'm here to tell us tonight, church, we don't need a great big number to make a difference. We just need a willingness to go forward and to do it. And he said that anybody that would be willing, that he'd fill them, that he would give them his spirit. So that tells me I don't have to worry what I preach. I don't have to worry what I teach. Because when I need something to be said, he'll say it and not me. And if I need something to be sung, he'll fill my mouth and cause a new song to come out of me. That tells me without the saturation of the anointing that we're dry. Have you ever walked in a dry room before? You can't breathe. You start getting nosebleeds. It literally bothers you from the inside out. And you might wonder why I fight so hard. You know what my goal is? I just try to keep the rain going. I just try to keep it from getting dry. If that's all I do, I'm okay with that. You might not remember me for my name. You may not even know what I do for a living. But if I can just make a little bit of an impact in your life, then that means far more than any money I can give you. That means far more than any wisdom that I could give, any opinion I could supply, any medication a doctor could give, any advice a psychologist could say. The things that God gives us is more than enough to take care of our affliction. There's healing for you in your time of affliction. I don't find it coincidence that the Lord spoke there's healing in this place, because it is being acknowledged that we have afflictions that are in need of healing. Amen. Let me read this to you. It's tough to feel abandoned by God. Most of us have felt that way one time or another. Maybe things were going well and suddenly the bottom dropped out of your life. You ever felt that way? Maybe you lost a job, maybe lost an income, just feel like that literally the bottom was kicked out from under you and you were flat on your back. How many of you ever felt like that? Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And in the confusion of all the events, we'll begin to ask ourselves, where's God in all of this? So let me read this. Here we find that Hagar has fled from Sarah. Things had seemed to look up for a brief moment. Her lowly status as a servant had changed when Abram, according to the custom of that day, had taken her to produce a child on behalf of the barren Sarah. But when Hagar became pregnant, she communicated an air of superiority to Sarah, who then mistreated her. Finally, things got so bad that Hagar took off in the direction of her homeland out through the desert. It was a dangerous thing for a woman to do. She could have been abused or taken captive by nomadic traders. Being pregnant, she could have lost her baby from the rigors of traveling in the rugged terrain. Having to escape probably in the night, she would have had few supplies. But somehow she made it to a spring of water in the desert and sat down exhausted. I'm here to tell somebody right now that you might be praying for some children that have not been in the house of God for a long time. But eventually they're going to get exhausted. They're going to finally get to a point where they've got to sit down and find a spring somewhere. So if they talk back to you, if they rebel against you, if they make you feel like that you're this big, even though you've cared for them your whole life, I'm here to tell you that a moment's going to come, bless God, where they're finally going to get exhausted of living the way that they're living, acting the way that they act, and doing the things that they do. Because I'm here to tell you that human beings do not have the capacity to continue the way the devil would have them. They're going to get tired one day. The drugs are going to lose their allure one day. Eventually, they're going to be a shadow of themselves, and there will be a chance to reach them. But are we going to be like a Sarah, or are we going to be like an angel of God? Would we have them to go away, or would we want to be close to them in the oasis that we could speak to them? He certainly has not called us to be a judge over anyone, but he has called us to be brothers and sisters. Look over at the person next to you. Depending on their gender, make sure you say the right one. Say, you're my brother, or you're my sister. So we might not be directly connected. Sister Jamie, I feel like you're my sister as much as my real sister sitting here tonight. I feel a connection with people that I have fellowship with. And the Bible talks about that in our heart we would rejoice when we would find the one that was lost. Because what good is there any praise if we're just sitting with the 99? We already know we're saved. We already know we're delivered and set free. And how many of you have been to that church service of the 99 before? Everybody said they're glad they're saved, and everybody monotonally acknowledged, yeah, amen. They gave them that nod. How many of you know the nod? They don't even say amen. They just, depending on where you come from, some people go back instead of down. They'll go kind of like the What's up? We can get so monotone and bored with church that instead of becoming the oasis, are you ready? We become the desert. And they go out and do not trust the church anymore. And we can have all the hot dogs. We could buy every wiener in Kimball County and put it in a bun with mustard on it, or ketchup for those of you who are strange. I'm just kidding. For mustard or ketchup on every wiener in town, you could smell it 5 miles away. But it's not going to change a thing with a real problem. You might feed them for the hour, but what are we doing to change the heart? The only way they'll ever hear you is if you speak through the voice of God. That's what the angel represented in that hour. The voice of God. And if you are an heir and joint heir in Christ, when you speak of him, you're speaking like the angel spoke to Hagar. And that means whether they like it or not, if you're doing it of God, it will make a difference. It will make a difference. There will be those that are irrepentant, people that won't receive what you say. But that doesn't mean that you didn't try. And you'll go on to be with God in glory. And they'll begin to wonder why things aren't getting any better. Honey, I'm here to tell you, if God brought you here tonight, he wants to heal your affliction. He wants to make a difference in your life.